Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio and my YouTube live stream, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. I am your host and guide, Georgia Pa, Maria Antaroma. And September is the second and final mineral month in this mind-blowing mineral year of clarity, confidence, and courage. This September has brought the energy of higher purpose, which is why it's been so crazy. And that's supporting us being our authentic selves. And so my theme this month is about the path to your authentic self. As the 21st century continues to bring disruption to all of our institutions, financial, religious, familial, political, educational, the evolutionary impulse of the universe is demanding that we let go of doing and being that which is not in alignment with our higher purpose. So through these now 4 radio broadcasts and YouTube live streams, I'm going to provide wisdom and insights on the inner journey that we can take to becoming our authentic self. Tonight I present the 4th and final part, which is the treasure in authenticity at the movies. And for those of you who have experienced me before or over a period of time, you know it's one of my most favorite things in the world to do is to talk movies. I am just a crazy movie buff, thanks to my mom and her siblings and my grandparents, and then me and my brother and sister have picked up the mantle. Got a couple of nieces that are also the same way, so it's really exciting. But for those of you who may be listening or watching for the first time, let me give you a brief overview of Wisdom Walk. It is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the ultimate goal of my shows is to support you in learning how to recognize and release any and all pain that may be blocking your experience of fulfillment in life, or what I like to call a series of happy endings in life. So every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, I broadcast live both here on Black Hole Radio and my YouTube live stream, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. Unless I'm on hiatus or the unexpected occurs, like it did last week, and if for some reason you can't access the internet to listen or watch, you can always listen to this live broadcast over the telephone at this number. It's area code 563-999-3089. Again, that's 563-999-3089. I'm looking right at it, right? You can ask a question or share a comment on my website, which is www.wisdomwalktoselfmastery.com, or if you're using YouTube, in the comments box below the video. Now, I invite you to sit or lay back and to allow yourself to come along with me to explore your inner landscape, where you can connect to your soul and discover the true treasure of being human. Now, I always begin my shows by honoring the ancestors, calling on the ancestors, and Lord knows we need them at this time. The crisis that is going on, and it really is a crisis that is going on in the U.S. political system with the White House, is very much an outcropping, if you will, a projection, if you will, of this time that we are living in as human beings. You know, we're just at a reset point. There's so much that has changed. I mean, if you just look at, I should do that one time, that would be a fun video to do, just to look at the things that occurred in terms of technology. If I just took technology from 1900 through 2000, and even did 2000 through 2019, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. And so many things have changed. So many things have shifted. But we haven't caught up to that in terms of our institutions, our ways of being and relating and doing. And, you know, here's a great example. When they set up the school system, the public school system, which occurred, you know, at the beginning of the last century in the 1900s, closer to the, like in the 1920s, they really kind of got it together, decided that, you know, oh, yeah, we need people who can read and write so that we can make more money and they can work in factories and everything will be good. So they create this public education system. And at that time, it was expected that women would be home raising children. So the time for the school would be after the father had gone out to work, right? So that's why school bell usually rang somewhere between 8:30 and 9. And then the children would come back before the father came back home, so between 3 and 5, so that mama could make sure they were okay and then have time to get the meal ready. So by the time the man walked through the door, the food was on the table, the kids were, you know, doing what they need to do, get ready for bed, whatever, you know. And so that 9 to 3, you know, school system that we have set up is still in operation, even though that scenario I just gave you is like, it ain't happened a lot. There are some women, I actually have some nieces, who have been very privileged to be able to stay home and raise their children into the age of 5 and beyond. But that is not the case. You know, when women had their liberation in the 1960s, and it was like, yeah, I need to go out to work and I need to make as much money as I can make and as much money as men can make and, you know, all of the stuff, the issues that are going on now. But think about it. So there is no wife, mother at home, you know, for the children. So that's why you have the daycare situation that you have, or you have situations where kids latchkey going home to an empty apartment because ain't nobody getting off of work until after 5. So it's just, that's just one example of how things have shifted, but we haven't shifted up our institutions to meet the new change, the change that's going on. And so we need some help. We need some help from our ancestors to really help us let go of holding on to the past and to things that it worked at one time. Like back in the 1920s, that probably worked, you know. It doesn't really work enough now. It really, really doesn't. So that's just, again, one example I gave about the school, but there are so many more, if you sit and think about it, where we really need to be expanding our understanding of and becoming more creative in how our institutions are set up and how they're running. If I add the issue of diversity into this conversation, oh, a lot of stuff needs to shift, right? Yeah, definitely. So I want you to think about an ancestor. It doesn't have to be blood related. It could be someone who walked the earth plane that you admired and that you feel is a guide for you. And we're going to take a moment and call on them and ask them for their help, because I've given you examples in society, but those examples are happening to us on a personal level as well, like the family. Family is an institution. So we've got things going on in family where we're still holding on to some stuff from the past that we need to let go and really open up to what is really happening now, what's going on now. And so I'm going to invoke some ancestors here to help us with that, and to make sure that it's all good. So, Mother, Father, God, Source, all the one, all that is, Creator, thank you, thank you, thank you for your blessing and mercy in our lives and for yet another opportunity to reach out to your great emissaries, the ancestors. Ancestors, 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 we are calling upon you this day because we are becoming more and more aware of how we have moved forward in our technological places, in our social places, in our understanding of the importance of diversity and the importance of honoring human beings, but yet our institutions have not moved in as much and in the ways that they should. And so this is creating a lot of conflict. It's creating a lot of confusion. It's creating a lot of burden. And we know that what we're seeing, like on a political level, is also what's happening inside of us. It is that conflict, that point, break point that is happening. And so we're reaching out to you and asking and thanking you for giving us your guidance, your wisdom, and your love as we navigate through this time of great change, of great evolution, of great illumination, so that we can honor all the new things that have come into our lives and that we can see them as blessings rather than burdens. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Ancestor, for hearing our call. Of course, we always are asking you to provide us with healing for ourselves personally, for our family members, for everyone we know. And so, Creator, again, I thank you. I thank you for this prayer to the Ancestor. and all that you do to help us. In the name of all that is holy, I say amen. Ashe ho asash in the business line, so it is. Okay. Very good. Very, very good. All right. So, this week, elementally, is our elemental forecast. We've just left the fire week. And last week was all about honoring the ancestors and, you know, doing a little ancestor plate, calling on them, thanking them, you know, really mixing with those ancestors as we are taking on again, you know, this deeper transformation. And so now we move into a mineral week. And here's the opportunity. And the week is, the date is the 24th, Tuesday the 24th. That's the beginning of the elemental week, and it'll go until Monday, September 30th. So the opportunity is about remembering your purpose. It's about allowing the power of love to remind you of whom you truly are, what you really want to do and have and be in your life. It's about following your heart and your dreams and your soul, and to take the necessary risk to experience your true power and uniqueness. Wow, it's interesting because the astrological piece fits into this, which I'll share in a moment. So, of course, anytime we have an opportunity, there's going to jump up some distractions. So here's what you want to be on the lookout for. One, choosing to stay in confusion. Remember, confusion is a choice. When you're an adult, you don't have to stay confused. You can say a prayer and open up to receiving some revelation, some enlightenment, or you can Google. You don't have to stay confused. Engaging in melodramas. We all know about that. And, you know, we like that stuff, but let's leave it to the actors and television and Netflix and movies, you know. Let them do that. In real life, you don't need to stay enmeshed in melodramas. Playing out archetypal roles that don't serve you or anybody. Here's another distraction, taking on problems and challenges that you can tackle but which are not for you to do because they are not in alignment with your higher purpose. Yeah. You know, it's just like Jesus didn't do everything. People got to understand that. Jesus was not God. He'd tell you quick, too. If somebody tried to dream like God, he'd be like, oh, no. No, 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 no. Let me tell you about my Father up in heaven. You know, Jesus was clear, like, don't lay that on me. I ain't responsible for all of that. And he was clear about what he had to do. And so we have to remember that even though there are times when there's something we could do for a person or we've got the problem solved for them that they can't see, if it, you know, it may not be in alignment. So you have to really ask. You have to really ask permission. And you have to accept the no that comes because if you try to push forward, you'll get a smackdown. It will not be pretty. So again, this is about staying on purpose, and we have to understand that even though we can have a facility to do something or a way to do something, if it's not right, if it's not in alignment, it's not going to be a happy ending. Another distraction is fear of failure, you know, taking on things from that place of fear rather than learning. It's all about learning. And then last but not least is procrastination, you know, convincing, which is basically a form of self-sabotage. Procrastination is convincing yourself that, well, I don't really have to do it yet, or I don't really have to do it now, you know, coming up with excuses to not be on purpose. Yeah. The universe will push, they'll shove you, so try to get there on your own. Now, next Tuesday will be October the 1st, and that will begin a water week. Yeah, in an earth month. October will be an earth month. And that water week will all be about releasing what can no longer support you on your new journey. Because after the energies of September, we're all on a new journey. There's something new has really started. It's been coming, but we're really going to be stepping more into it in October. We're going to be coming home to the new. So astrologically, we have a new moon coming up this Saturday, September the 28th, and it's a new moon in Libra because we've now passed from Virgo into Libra. One of my favorite astrologers, Barbara Goldsmith, says with seven planets in Libra, at this time, and that's pretty huge. Including Venus, which is the ruler of Libra, the focus of this moon is about love and relationships. Isn't that wonderful? She says Libra rules love and romance. So we're really clear. This is about love and romance stuff coming up this Saturday energy. Remember, the energy is for, you know, the moon time stuff. It's leading up to that time, and it's also after that. You get the consequences of it. So it'll be a full week and a half. You'll be feeling this stuff. She says new moons always bring opportunities to start fresh. Once again, like I said, this new beginning energy, we're really in the mixed up. This is a great time for finding a new love relationship or for injecting renewed energy and creativity into an existing one. It's also about reunions. Reunions can happen at this time. And love can come into your life at any time, she says. So don't think it's over if you thought it was over. If you're still alive and breathing, love can find you. Yeah, yeah. Wonderful. So now I'm going to give you the overview of what I want to talk about tonight. And I'm going to first do a quick overview of the authentic self, the three most important threats and challenges, and about choosing love over fear, which I did in the last three broadcasts. Then I'll talk about what is the treasure of authenticity, because I really have been speaking to it over these, you know, last three spiritual spills I've been doing. But now I'll just kind of nail it down for you. And then I'll talk two movies that I've chosen to help illustrate the treasure in being your authentic self. And, of course, there are movies where somebody's not authentic at first, and then they become authentic. And the first one is a rom-com called Baby Boom. And the second one is a sci-fi action film called The Matrix. Because The Matrix came out in 1999, so it's been about 20 years, and I wanted to, this is my way of kind of doing my 20-year salute to The Matrix. And you may be thinking, like, how does a rom-com and a sci-fi action adventure be able to illustrate authenticity? Like, right, if you've never seen them. If you've seen them, then you'll be like, oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense. The quote I began with in my announcement for this week's broadcast and YouTube comes from Brené Brown, the wonderful Brené Brown, the social scientist who brought out the importance of being vulnerable and who wrote a wonderful book called Daring Greatly, all about being our authentic self. And she says, authenticity is the daily practice of letting go of who we think we're supposed to be and embracing who we are. Isn't that just delicious? It's just all there. It's all there. And, yeah, it really is a daily practice, too. And then I wanted to share another one, a wonderful quote from Sarah Ban Breathnach. And Sarah, years ago, did this wonderful book for women called Simple Abundance, Daybook of Comfort and Joy. And it came out at a time when women were starting to discover that, you know, they're really, we can't be men. We don't need to be men. And that there's this feminine side to us that is really important. So if we are in the rat race, we really need to give attention to that. And so her book was a bestseller because it was one of the first messages about, you know, you can just take it easy. You don't have to kill yourself. And her quote says, the authentic self is the soul made visible. Wow. That's like a really, really powerful, really cool quote. I like that. So here's my quick review. What is the authentic self? I define it as a level of consciousness where you are willing and able to be present to the existence of your soul. I'll say that again. It is a level of consciousness where you are willing and able to be present to the existence of your soul. Because when you're not present to your soul, you're at the mercy of what somebody else thinks, what somebody else says, what somebody else does, what somebody else needs you to be, needs you to do. You know, in other words, you have really no sovereignty over who and what you are. But when you are connected to your soul, when you have that level of consciousness, like, wait a minute, I came here unique. I came here on purpose. I was born full. And you got that soul connection. You know that inside of you, everything you need in order to be fulfilled, to have those happy endings, it's all in you. It's not out there. You know, you're Dorothy after she ran around a witch's castle and found out she had the ruby slippers, you know, and you realize, you know, that's when you are authentic. Yeah. Because you're embracing the truth of who you are. You're not leaving it up for somebody else to decide. So this authenticity also can be described as having, you know, control over and power over your ego, where you can push it aside and choose love over fear, meaning you're not motivated by fear, as so much of our culture is. You know, a lot of it's due, I blame it on consumerism, on, you know, Madison Avenue advertising. So they have to figure out a way to get people to go buy stuff. Because, you know, people don't realize this. Like, my mother was born in 1933. There were no supermarkets in 1933. No, you could barely find a corner store if you lived out in the country. You know, you had to go in town to get to a store. But there was no supermarket. That's a new concept, basically, right? So you have to understand that people weren't used to just going out and buying. And plus, you didn't have the money for it either, but you weren't used to shopping. No. So they had to figure out ways to get people to want to go out and shop. And one of the things they discovered is, let's tell people that there's something they don't have that they need. And we'll make them feel like you got to have this so that you can feel good about yourself. Or you'll be in the in club. And then that went from there to, you know, there's something wrong with your teeth, buy this. There's something wrong with your eyebrows, get this. There's something wrong with your skin. You got bad breath. Oh, your deodorant isn't good. You're smelling, you know. Never let them see you sweat, you know. And so we're still doing that. We're still doing that to ourselves. We're still invalidating ourselves. So that we go out and buy something to make us be, you know, superheroes or something like that. I don't know. This is so why it is such a challenge to be your authentic self in this culture, in this modern culture, because we are so, you know, conditioned and so expected to follow along with what is, you know, pumped up as this is the right thing to do. This is the right thing to do. So getting to self-actualization, getting to loving yourself unconditionally, it's a real challenge. It's a real challenge. I know people who have in you know, what Western culture thinks is success, who have made success, where they are entrepreneurs, they have millions of dollars in the bank or access to it through the, whatever equity they have. And, you know, they're challenged by authenticity. It's a challenge. Loving themselves, it's a challenge. So, you know, again, we've got a real barrier here to being able to be authentic. And it's sad because it's something that's supposed to happen very naturally. It's supposed to happen very naturally, but we don't support it enough in this culture. So there's a path that can open up for all of us when we're ready or when we're called to really begin to learn how to step into authenticity. I talked about how the 21st century, especially because of the 2012 shift into a higher consciousness, a global shift in humanity into a higher consciousness, is really calling that forth, that it's more important than ever that we are our authentic selves and that we kind of resist being pulled into somebody else's belief or understanding of what we need to be in order to be successful or in order to be happy, in order to be fulfilled. I talked about the three most important threats and challenges on this path, which we want to be able to illuminate so that you can work on them. And one of them is about the status quo, that wanting to be normal. You know, most of us accept that ideology of modernity that we're here to survive financially or we'll die. And so the challenge of that is we've got to transcend that fear. We've got to get beyond thinking that we're only here to survive, that we are here to be on purpose. The second threat is about the question of belonging. Like wanting to be normal, we all want to belong. And so if you're in doubt about belonging, then you open yourself up to, you know, maybe belonging in situations and places that really aren't for you or really aren't what you're about. So that challenge is about mastering yourself and stepping into your personal sovereignty so that you really are able to attract and connect with and belong to what is right for you. And of course, ultimately, the first place you need to belong is to yourself. Then the third important threat, I call it the most important one, is about self-denial and self-hatred, because these things run so unconscious and so deep in our psyche. And it's very hard, if you're following the status quo and doing all the right things, to uncover the fact that maybe you are denying yourself what it is you really want to be and do, that you may not be liking yourself and not feeling like you're worthy of having your higher purpose run your life. Yeah. So, of course, the challenge there is to open up to learning how to follow your dreams and how to accept that your birthplace, your birth home, your family of origin, your body, you know, everything that you were given was for a purpose, and your job is to find out how to accept all that and to become what it is that you are truly to be. Last week I talked about love postures versus primal fear postures as what enables us to choose love over fear. Because when I just say choose love over fear, it's kind of abstract and amorphous. So I wanted to give some more meat to it, you know, something more grounded. And so I had mapped out back in 2013, I think this was, yeah, in 2013, these five love postures, these five ways of standing in ourselves, five ways of being with ourselves and ultimately how we relate to others instead of the fear postures. And so they are, the first one, the love is acceptance and faith versus the fear of denial and despair. Next is trust and unconditional love versus control and attachment. Third is personal sovereignty and vulnerability, which is a strength, versus insecurity and codependency. Fourth is curiosity and excitement versus arrogance and anxiety, and arrogance being about knowing it all, having it all figured out, not open to learning. And last is fulfillment and gratitude versus greediness and envy. And greediness is about not knowing what enough is. You know, that's that kind of addictive behavior that we all can step into in big ways and small ways. And so my personal challenge last week was begin your day by asking to see clearly the ways in which you are motivated by fear. Choose one way that is revealed to you and ask for the wisdom, guidance, and support to learn how to shift into love as your motivator. Yeah, that's a really good one. I like doing that one. Yeah, I do that one. I don't do it enough probably, but when I do it, I always have really, really good results. It really is eye-opening. So now let's move into this treasure of being your authentic self. Why is this a goal? Why shouldn't I just go along with the status quo? Why shouldn't I want to be normal, Jojapa, and fit in where it is that I can be accepted. And why should I care about self-denial and self-hatred if I'm making money and got my car and I got my house and everything's good, you know? And the answer is because everything probably isn't good. Everything probably isn't good. When you are not your authentic self, you're not at peace. And I don't care how many Disney cruises you go on or how many pieces of clothes and shoes you got, you know, it's not going to bring you the happiness and fulfillment that being your true self and being on purpose can be. So that's one of the treasures, of course. Of course, it's about, you know, fulfillment in life and happy endings. And what fulfillment really is, because fulfillment isn't like winning the race. That's not really fulfillment. Fulfillment is, I know that I have everything I need right here, right now. That's fulfillment. In other words, you're not looking at what you don't have. You're not thinking about what else can I grab and get. You're saying right here, right now, I have everything that I need, and I'm good. I'm happy. Now, that doesn't mean you won't grow and that there won't be an expansion in terms of what you are and what you do. That's normal. That's what we call evolution. But I'm talking about that, you know, that addictive attachment, greediness, codependency energy where you're just trying to get filled up and nothing works. But fulfillment is where, no, I know what enough is. And I know that I'm good. That's happiness and that's joy. That's what being authentic will bring you. Because that, too, is a level of consciousness. Fulfillment is also a level of consciousness. Yeah. Another one is being in alignment with higher purpose. That's a great treasure. I can't tell you how many adults I talk to and I ask them. And, I mean, these are people, you know, got good jobs and, you know, they got financial fitness. Well, they say, so what's your purpose in life? I don't know. I have no idea. Really? But, of course, you know, again, just going along with the status quo and meeting, you know, all of the requirements for success or what we call success doesn't necessarily mean that you really know your purpose. Purpose is very different from getting a college degree, yeah, or having a bank account. So when we step onto the path of authenticity, that's what's ahead. That's what's waiting for us, is this understanding of the fact that we have a higher purpose and we know what it is. And it's that's a very powerful gift, treasure. Yeah, you can withstand a lot of problems and challenges when you're clear about your purpose. Yeah. And then the other treasure is what I've been talking about for this whole year, this mineral year of clarity, confidence, and courage, which all are encased in personal sovereignty, that you own yourself, you take full responsibility for what makes you happy, what makes you sad. You don't make other people responsible for that. You take responsibility for keeping yourself well, loving yourself, you know, and once you're doing that for yourself, you generate an energy that invites the support you need to keep that going. Yeah. So these are the treasures. And now I want to talk about two films that will illustrate this a little more for you about this treasure of being your authentic self. So the first movie is Baby Boom. It was done in 1987, came out in 1987, and it was written by the great Nancy Myers. Nancy Myers is one of the great rom-com writers who also became a director. She's like Nora Ephron. We just really love her movies, men and women, because it's just good stuff. She wrote Something's Gotta Give with Diane Keaton and I can see his face when I'm blocking on his name. The movie The Holiday, which is a little sleeper of a movie, but it's done so well. It's complicated with Meryl Streep, and her last one in 2015 was called The Intern with Robert De Niro, and I'm blocking on that actress's name, but she's really cute. So anyway, here's the synopsis of this story, and yeah, I guess they're spoilers, but I got to spoil it because I got to talk about it, but let me give you the synopsis. So Diane Keaton plays a woman named J.C. Wyatt, and when the movie begins, she is a late 80s yuppie success story because she's been able to break through the glass ceiling for women at her marketing firm. Her story, her corporate workaholic lifestyle, because we see that very clearly in the movie, which is just, you know, of course, in that corporate mindset, I know about that very well, is radically disrupted when she inherits baby Elizabeth from a distant cousin who died. After attempting to put Elizabeth up for adoption, she succumbs to the challenge of motherhood. Now, since she has successfully navigated the corporate world, she believes she can conquer the world of childcare. And, you know, she does. She does pretty well. She does pretty well. She gets nannies and she orders things and she's learning things, you know. She's really taking it on and she is managing, except her company sees motherhood as a detriment. And this was very true back in the 80s, and I think it's still true today for some companies. And so they give her management spot to her assistant, who is a man. Yeah, so she got a big smackdown. So she gets very upset, of course, and feels betrayed. And so she decides to quit the job and leave New York City and the rat race behind, and she goes to set up life in rural Vermont. Rural Vermont. Through a series of challenges and conflicts, she becomes stretched and grown in her authentic self, falls in love with Sam Shepard. Who wouldn't fall in love with him? That man was really sexy. He's a great playwright. And she becomes an entrepreneur by selling organic baby applesauce. Now, when her former employers find out she's got this business going on, you know, she's doing well, they offer to buy her out, buy her business. They'll make her the CEO, they tell her, we'll make you the CEO, and give her a golden parachute, you know, give her a private jet, all this money, right? But she by now has become authentic, and her personal sovereignty is in full operation, so she doesn't sell out. She has her happy ending and is fulfilled by living her purpose without the rat race. So in this movie, we first see J.C. Wyatt having the look of someone who's got it all together. She's got it all going on. She's down to, you know, these real suits. She's got her little tight suits on, and she's in these meetings with a majority of men. She's just, you know, she's working it. She's working it. But we get to see behind the scenes that, you know, She's very confused, and she's worried. She's got anxiety on her. She's workaholic. You know, she can't breathe. She can't stop. She has a boyfriend when it begins who is a Wall Street broker, I believe, played by the great Harold Ramis. And, you know, they're living the yuppie lifestyle. But there's like an absence of depth in her life, and really an absence of her really taking real care of herself. You know, everything is about the job. Everything is about the job. So when you make the job be who you are, that's a big setup. So she was clearly very identified with that. So that's a confusion piece, I see. And also the doubt piece, because when something outside of you is defining who you are, determining who you are, then you're not, if you're relying on something outside of yourself, there's definitely doubt. And we see her in the beginning when she's handed this baby, you know, and again, this is a comedy, so they make it really funny, like she inherits this kid. But, you know, she's afraid of it. She doesn't know how to handle it. There's this whole scene where the baby's running the temperature and she doesn't even know how to use a thermometer. You know, so it's like it's daunting to her, you know. And so she becomes a coward when she tries to give the baby up for adoption. But the baby pulls at her heartstrings, you know, and this is something that wasn't going on in her life. It wasn't happening with her partner. It definitely wasn't happening in the job. They were totally emotionally shut down. It was all about business. But this baby shows up and is pulling at her heartstrings. You know, what's interesting about this movie, too, it wasn't making the statement that women shouldn't try to be in the corporate world. They should just, you know, go into motherhood and be happy. You know, that's not the real message of this. And it could have been, but this is Nancy Meyers writing. And what Nancy was really showing is that there was someone who was giving her power over to this corporate world, was giving her power away. And she was betrayed when she steps into this other aspect of herself. Because clearly, if she didn't want motherhood, she would have given the baby up for adoption. But there was something in her that was like, I kind of want to do this, you know. It pulled at her heartstrings. There's another aspect to herself. And so Nancy Meyers is saying that, you know, that women should not have to shut down that aspect of themselves. They should be supported, especially if they're a good employee and they're helping the company out. They should be supported. And so Nancy was saying, but if you all aren't supporting her, she's smart enough. She can create her own life and step into her real purpose. And for J.C. Waite, it was, you know, selling this baby applesauce, you know, really, really fun. So she ends up, you know, actually becoming even more powerful than what she appeared at the beginning of the movie when she finds her way into Vermont. And, you know, at first when she goes into Vermont, she thinks it's going to be idyllic and, you know, it's not the city, right? So it's this dream of the farm and it's bucolic and everything's wonderful. And, oh, my God, what she goes through. when a water pump breaks down at the well and, you know, all these other things are going on. And she realizes, you know, that it's not what it seems. And, again, she has to find her courage. She has to find her courage. It's like an initiation she goes through to discover the truth of who she is. And again, that's what being on the path to authenticity is really about. I also love that in the movie, Nancy writes how she gets tempted, because that is so what can happen to us. We will go along the path, and we'll step into our authenticity, and then, boom, up jumps the temptation. I've been through it more than once. And you think, oh, well, yeah, I can do that. I can go back in. I can do it, you know. It would have been interesting if they had shown her kind of going back in for a little bit and seeing like, oh, this is not who, how did I do this? This is not who I am. But we don't get to see that. She's able to say, no, I'm not going to do that. So I think that's a really powerful piece that the movie shows. But anyway, again, it's just this wonderful, wonderful look at how we can think that because we are financially successful, materially successful, that that's the truth of who we are. And I love how this movie shows, no, you are so much more than that, so much more than that. And, of course, you know, Diane's happy endings is that she finds a love, real love. She finds a loving relationship, a passionate relationship. She now has a child in her life, being a parent, which I think is a blessing, a great blessing that anyone who is a parent, you know, can't even imagine how much they're blessed to be a parent. And she, you know, is taking all the skills that she was using for someone else and she applies them to herself. She gets her own business. So that's her story of authenticity. Now let me jump into The Matrix real quick. And again, The Matrix came out in 1999. I can't imagine anybody on the planet who has not seen The Matrix, but I know that there probably are some people who haven't. But very quickly, this story is about a man in the future who is haunted by this person called Morpheus, and he's looking for him on his computer. He gets all these different messages and newspaper articles and stuff about Morpheus was spotted here and Morpheus there, and he's wondering, who is Morpheus? And most importantly, he's wondering what the Matrix is, because he keeps hearing about this Matrix. So when we're introduced to this character of Neo, and his name is Mr. Anderson, Tom Anderson, I think is his name. But his, what do they call it? Like his handle, his computer handle is Neo, because he is a hacker, a computer hacker. And so he hacks in and gets information and music and, you know, all kinds of discs for people, and he sells it at night. This is what he does when he's not at his office in his cubicle working. And so we see from the opening that, you know, again, he is totally confused, in doubt, and very much a coward, because he does get a chance. He gets connected with Morpheus, and Morpheus is giving him an instruction at one point for how to avoid being picked up by what he thinks is the police, but we know that they're called these agents. And he has to go out on a ledge outside of a building, and he goes, and he is scared to death. He's scared to death, and so the agent's getting. He comes back in. He can't be out on the ledge. And, again, it was all symbolic for, you know, he wasn't willing to take the risk to really get to what he's being called to. And so in the movie, and I'm not going to go into so many, many details, but what's important for what I'm talking about in terms of becoming your authentic self, for Neo, what happens is that he does meet up with Morpheus. He has a face-to-face meeting with him, and Morpheus offers him a choice that he can stay in this made-up world where he is not happy, where he's living this blah life, or he can take a red pill that will wake him up to the truth of who he is. And so Neo opts for the red pill, and that's when the movie really begins, because Neo has to learn that he has a higher purpose, that people are expecting him to do something great, that he is an anomaly. He's the abnormal one. He's the different one. And he fights it. He fights it. Oh, no, not me. I'm not. Oh, no, that can't be me. You know, so he's like all of this self-doubt, self, you know, invalidation. And through a series of, you know, challenges and conflicts, he opens up to coming into the realization that he is an anomaly. He is the one, that he has a gift that other people are depending upon him to use. And so he finds a way to break through his fears, and he steps into the role. One thing that helps him break through his fears is, again, somebody else coming into his life, and that really was Morpheus, because Morpheus was a revolutionary. Morpheus was this man that, you know, has this information about how the machines have taken over and all the humans are down to, you know, like, they, compared to what we are now, we like a handful of people, and they want to keep surviving, but they got to fight these machines, and they need Neo's skills and to be able to help them to do that. And so because of his love for Morpheus and his respect and appreciation for him, that really helps him to step more into his truth. The other thing that helps him is that he falls in love, like with Diane Keaton in Baby Boom. And so I love that both of these films are talking about that power of love, the power of love to move us along the path, to get us closer to stepping into the truth of who we are, to say yes to being the anomaly, you know, saying yes to being the one that can stand out, that can be different, that can say no to the status quo. And so in the movie, by the end of the movie, we get to see that, you know, Neo can stop bullets, because he gets it. He steps into his higher consciousness, and he can stop bullets. And he falls in love and is able to have that love expressed. And he's able to fly like Superman in the Matrix and do all kinds of things and be the hero that he's been born to be. And it's a happy ending for him. And that's just the first movie. Of course, it's a trilogy. But even if I think of it in retrospect, I think that The Matrix has a very happy ending, and that Neo fulfills his higher purpose. There is fulfillment of that. So it is, just a really wonderful film when we're looking at, you know, moving into authenticity and the challenges of being on that path. It works it out really well. Of course, one of my favorite characters in the movie is the Oracle that he goes to see, which would be sort of like, you know, a medium in our terms. But she's really a computer program. It's very, very interesting how they work it out. But she's the one that, you know, he is told that, you know, yeah, you got a gift, but I don't know what you're waiting for, but, you know. And he takes that to mean, oh, I must not be the one. But really what she was saying to him, you are the one, but you have to believe it. You have to believe it. So here's my personal challenge for you this week. As you contemplate stepping onto the path, your path to authenticity, or if you know you're already on that path, I challenge you to clarify for yourself what specific treasure you want to receive by being your authentic self. Yeah. And I'm not talking about material treasure. I'm talking about spiritual treasure, emotional treasure, you know, cosmic treasure. What is it that you would want? What would your fulfillment experience be like? Yeah. So, as a reminder, the personal challenge will be listed in the box below this YouTube video, also posted on my Facebook page. And if you haven't done it so already, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, hit the bell so that you can get all of my postings. I also want to do a quick plug for my book, The Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. And it is available on Amazon, also in Kindle version. And I'm working on an audio version. You could also give me a little more royalty by buying it directly from my self-publishing agent, which is BalboaPress.com. And I think you'll find it very helpful with everything that I talk about. Is the foundation for it is in this book, like about the elemental wisdom, about the medicine wheel. Well, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I'm smiling because I didn't have any interruption on my YouTube this week. That is really, really cool. I see I have two people watching. I don't know who you are, but hi, thank you. So I want to shout out to my wonderful engineer, Ms. Yvette Parker, who had some technical problems with the radio, but was able to solve it in time so that I could be here broadcasting to you tonight. Thank you, Yvette, and the entire Black Hole Be Well family for what you do to keep me on the air. I want to do a shout out to all my regular listeners out there and to Miss Sarah for demonstrating that walking a spiritual path is essential to a meaningful and fulfilling lifestyle. That's what she demonstrates every day. And to all of those who have wisdom walk with me, and you know who you are, to my family, my spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, especially Miss Amanda Kemp, the wonderful Miss Amanda Kemp. Please Google her and look her up. This sister is amazing. She is all about social justice, inclusion, diversity, freedom. And she is a spoken word artist. She is a singer. She's a performer. She's a teacher. She's just really, really amazing. I love her energy, and I am so blessed that she was able to stop by and Be at the Water with Me, honoring Mommy Water. Oh, yeah, if you didn't know, yesterday was Coastal Cleanup Day. It was a global coastal cleanup day here on the West Coast. They did it out on the East Coast and all over the world, and I'm so glad that there are people that understand that we have to take care of our Mother Earth and change those institutions around. I also want to thank my medicine brothers and sisters around the world and those who may be